let the left try to take it as their issue and say, oh, we are the ones who care about the environment and the outdoors. It's like, no, we both do. But your solution is always to have government intervene on things and to weigh in and to shut down whole industries that we need. And you look right now at energy independence. We had that. And now we've got this Russian oil with Ukrainian blood in it that we're funneling in here on the hundreds of thousands of barrels a day, which makes absolutely no sense. And that's why that more far left agenda that decides to get us off track. I want to transition over time to cleaner energy sources to diversify. I think that's a great thing over time to diversify our energy sources. That does not mean shutting down the energy that we can currently produce and drive up prices for everybody else in this country and now go to other countries, bad nations that are gonna be funneling our energy sources here at home. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So to me, it's yes, great. Let's transition to a future energy economy using market-based principles rather than having government intervene and subsidize huge industries and try to close down ones that we need to rely on at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say besides just going to prison, a big issue I've had with with a lot of our governors, especially during my lifetime, Pat Quinn, Blago, even Rauner, they're all wealthy Chicago elites. And I mean, you yourself have been a wealthy individual fairly from and very successful, I might add. Being from more urban areas, how will you ensure, assuming you're elected to the governorship, that you are representing the people of rural communities like the surrounding ones of Louisiana?
Well, it's really, I mean, come visit my home, like where I grew up, born and raised. I'm a Central Illinois guy, you know, town of 2,000 people, half of them are my cousins. it's actually why my wife said I was single when we met, was I didn't know who was my cousin and who wasn't. and like, I love that life. It's why I wanted to raise my kids that way. Mm-hmm. And that perspective is my perspective. I felt my whole life, Chicago dominates everything. Like it's always a one size fits all model from Chicago down, but that we are a diverse state with diverse set of values. And we need to actually have local autonomy in our governing. It's decentralization of authority and pushing it out. Right now you have a government that wants to centralize authority. I want to decentralize it, take power away from politicians and give them back to people again in communities. And so I will represent that value fully. And I've actually said, you know, with the governor's mansion in Springfield, it's like people say, would you commit to living there? Since we all the previous ones just head up to Chicago. And it's like, yeah, I do, but careful what you wish for. All my young kids are going to ruin all those renovations. all those renovations they've been put
there. As long as you keep the toilets in there.
Yeah, we'll keep the toilets in and everything. But yeah, I mean, getting back to a set of values in our government again and getting to represent the whole state, not just one county of it, is really important and part of who I am and what I want to represent.
Jesse, where did you grow up at?
Yeah, so I grew up in Petersburg, Illinois.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Lincoln's New Salem.
We love New Salem, my husband especially.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Oh my gosh, we have to trek down there at least once a year.
Oh, I love it too. And so I'm just, so there's the Sangamon River right there where Lincoln first got stuck on his flatboat when he was heading down to New Orleans, and I live right on the other side of that river overlooking New Salem.
Very nice area.
So yeah, born and raised my whole life about 6 years ago. After I got back from Afghanistan, I went out to Stanford Business School for 2 years, and then after I finished up, I came right back, and you know, about 6 years ago, and my wife and I have been raising our kids. My dad and mom are my neighbors, and my brothers and sisters, and we're all just raising our kids, yeah, with this set of values I was raised with. Yeah. What else? You guys, any other questions?
Last week, myself and several other sheriffs from Central and Southern Illinois, we met with Jesse, and ever since the talk of the Safety Act and everything went through, we have tried to get meetings with the governor, with key people. We can't get an audience with them. Jesse sat and he listened to us. And I talked to one of your staff members afterwards, and they said Jesse was upset because his staff member said, "You didn't say much." And a staff member asked me, "What do you think about that?" I said, "We thought it was awesome because he listened. He was taking notes. He knew what our concerns were. He wasn't there to talk. He was there to listen." And in this day and age in law enforcement, that's very much appreciated.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for the service you're doing in our state. It's really amazing. To me, I haven't asked politicians for endorsements because I don't have a whole lot of respect for a lot of them. But but with the sheriffs around the state, you know, those are individuals I have respect for. And the work you guys are doing every single day, it's like, man, how do we get back to that? You guys know what you're doing. It's more the fact that they've decided as politicians, they want to insert a political agenda overlay on top of you guys rather than just take that off and say, what do you need to do your job well? And that's what the model we need to get back to. Yeah, for sure. But thank you for the work you're doing. I'm just so appreciative to have your support.
Thank you.
When it comes to smaller towns in Illinois, it's a challenge for them to have the quality of life, have the fixtures that they need. Broadband is something that you and I talked about before. High-speed internet connects you to the world, and people can do business. They can have jobs and still live in that small town. How do you see helping smaller communities, and I'll move it to the farm too, as well as helping farmers have a role and not be overshadowed by the skyscrapers and say nobody pays attention? You know, I got a bit of that answer there, but how would you, from an economic point of view and a quality of life point of view, try to help smaller communities and agriculture?
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. And as we were talking about the broadband internet side, as I came back from Stanford Business School to run my business from Central Illinois, this town of 2,000 people, and it's a global investment firm and technology company. So we're investing in, you know, Karachi, Pakistan, two guys with a pitch deck who were presenting on, when I'm sitting in Petersburg, they actually pitched me, these two guys from Pakistan. I'd been over there previously on the ground. But it was because of this experience, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, where this militia commander said, these young men, they have no jobs or opportunity. If you help create that, we can have more peace and stability here. So I thought, okay, I need to help create jobs, grow the economy there. But it was sitting in my home in this, you know, small rural town of Illinois. Now they are going to be their country's first billion-dollar tech company. And it's crazy, you know, but I was able to do that from my home in Central Illinois. Fast internet connectivity is the future to unlock so much economic opportunity. And so that we definitely need to focus in on. Also, just, and this works not just for rural communities, but it does in the cities too, but just a commitment to growth that says we cannot tax our way out of our debt problem. That's driving people out of our state. 120,000 people, those who can leave the state are leaving towards Texas, towards Florida, you know, zero income tax states. We need to get back to having the lowest taxes we can possibly have, and then we can attract in the industries of the future and be able to create those jobs that way. It's a commitment to growth. It's not a unique concept. That's actually how we get growth, and we need to get back to that model in the state of Illinois. And so that one we need to take on wholeheartedly. When it comes to rural Illinois and unlocking opportunities, I think we all see this infrastructure money that's starting to flood in. I'm really concerned because I know the way our politics work. They work through special interests. They work through, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Hey, who has what interest? And it's not what are the industries of the future we need to create in the parts of the state that have real advantages. It's never like, what are the jobs a decade or two from now that we need to be laying the infrastructure for now? That's just not the process that takes place. And so I would want to get back to running a process that says, let's get special interests out of the room and let's get the right people who are actually trying to build those industries of the future in the room to say, what infrastructure do you really need? And that's where we went on a 52 county statewide truck tour recently, where I lost my voice. It's finally just starting to come back. But it really is like talking with those communities to say, what comparative advantage do you have here locally? Rockford, for instance, they have this great, big airport, not for people, but for goods and items and shipments. And they can set up manufacturing centers all around that now as a component of what they need to build uniquely in Rockford. You go downstate, actually the transportation side on the barges and the river, like there's a real opportunity there. And so each part of the state has its own unique design, but I'm afraid if we don't get the right people in there, all of the money's going to get wasted, that we're going to get this billions of dollars flowing through the economy, and it's all going to go to people's friends rather than what's the infrastructure needed, you know, for the future. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love a lot of what you're saying when it comes to the economy, your social issues like voiding the Floyd, but the sad truth in Illinois is that Republicans are hoping to not have a super majority or super minority in our state house anymore. How do you plan, like, recognizing that political reality, how do you plan to push some of these views that are likely not supported by Democrats through our legislation system, knowing that it's going
to
be difficult?
Great. So to me, I've broken into three parts. One, day one stuff that are executive orders and changing out boards. So Illinois State Board of Education, Prison Review Board, just cleaning house. And then day one executive orders like ending vaccine and mask mandates, you know, like fortunately now the mask stuff and all that through the lawsuits and everything. But it's like, we know it's going to rear its ugly head again. And probably everything I expect from our politicians is they'll do the same thing and try to come down hard. Well, day one, and you guys saw Glenn Youngkin did a good job of this. Here's the day one agenda. Do what you say you're going to do. So there's some stroke of the pen stuff. Two is running agencies well. You need no new legislation in order to say, we have a whole set of agencies that are wasting a ton of our money. And, you know, we have to get them back streamlined, efficient, actually held accountable to results and outcomes. And this is where I feel like my background is unique compared to the other candidates, to be able to actually design systems that work, be able to run agencies well to actual account and ability. And so that's what we're going to do as agencies next. The third bucket you're talking about of legislation, I think you have to be focused, very narrowly focused. Rauner had a 44-point agenda. Mine will be, we have ridiculously high taxes we need to lower, and what a root cause of that is the unfunded pension liabilities we need to take head on. You know, corruption and passing ethics legislation and reform with no thought that the fox guarding the hen house is actually going to do anything about it. But then we're going to run, whoever won't vote for that, we're going to run a race against those representatives that are not going to vote for it and shine a spotlight on their districts and get change over time that way. But you know, there's the school choice side that I want to push big time. And if you go back to those constituencies, the urban areas, those mothers and fathers want what's best for their kids. And they say, why am I sending them to this underperforming public school? I need an option and a choice. We win on that issue because the teachers unions up around Chicago have so much power as an arm of the Democratic Party now, but their constituents are not aligned with that view. And we make it very clearly known. Now is the time for school choice in the state of Illinois. And so you've got high taxes, corruption, crime, and then law enforcement and safety. And getting back, repealing this anti-police bill has to be at the top of the list. And making sure, as they're looking at ending qualified immunity, that just does not happen. And so those are the four areas where it's like, have a very fair, narrow, focused agenda and really try to push through and work with the other side to say, how do we make this work around these few key items? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Another question. Yeah. I'm just going to bring it up. Yeah. So Chris Larson and a few of your bigger donors, right? They've donated to other Democrats and things like that. Would you be somebody who has to kind of bend at their will because they have such big companies and such a stake in your campaign? Would there be legislation or an executive order that would benefit these types of companies like Ripple or like, you know, the companies that kind of mirror your company in a way, Alter Global with crypto? Would you ever do something like that via executive order? Because I feel like Pritzker does that with the EV situation, where he is just pushing out things like eminent domain and those types of things via executive order or lobbying our legislators to do it. Yeah. And it's damaging actually Rivian, and it's not helping them.
Yeah, I hand on the Bible, looking up towards heaven, make a commitment that I want to go to heaven more than I want to be governor. I want to live by a set of values that I think, you know, for me, honesty, integrity, character matter more than any of this other stuff. And yeah, people come and they say those things, but I will live it. I will actually do it. And I owe no man anything when I step into office. And there's plenty of pay to play. The culture of this whole thing is pay to play. I've had so many people come up to me, say, hey, you have my support. All I need is this or that. I said, sorry, not going to happen. That's not how I do things. They said, no, that's how things are done here. And if you don't do that, you're naive to it and you're never going to win. And I said, well, we'll see. Because we need to change that exact culture of, I'm going to do this for you, now you do this for me. I said, I'm not. That's not how I work at all. So on my top donors in, you know, that I've gotten to know, because they've done this work with me around the world trying to back companies and create jobs, then they've gotten to know me as a high character, high competency individual. I honestly didn't even know their politics. And they did not even really know much about mine, other than this is a good leader that I think could step in and change our politics with this set of values. And so, you know, like I told you, Chris Larson has also supported like Tom Cotton, you know, good conservative. So people on both sides of the aisle. And so for me, getting to the one area that I do believe in, that they also believe in, is around the future of the internet, is I actually want to see Illinois benefit from the future of the internet. We had Mark Andreessen. So a lot of people think cryptocurrency is actually a like fake money. Like you talk to my dad about it, he's like, what is this? This is ridiculous. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I'm of good fortune that I've gotten a background in this stuff. I'm at Stanford Business School and some of the companies we've invested around the world. I know what future industries are coming on the internet. And actually, when we're talking about the next version of the internet, the first one was actually created at U of I with Mark Andreessen. And then he went out to the Bay Area to build it in California and now has a $1 billion investment firm that's focused on this new area of the internet, like Web3 and cryptocurrency. Well, I want Chicago and downstate Illinois to benefit from all of that. And so for every tech job that's created, did you guys know there are 5 additional local service jobs created? So that means, you know, daycare providers, restaurants, all of that are the results. So it's a really good economist who has that statistic. For every 1 tech job created, 5 additional local service jobs. And so I'm not only talking about tech jobs being created, I'm talking about a whole economy and the industries of the future. Because we don't want to go visit our grandkids. You know, I don't want to go visit them on a plane or have to drive across states to go see them. I want the industries of the future being built in Illinois. And so because I'm a believer in Web3 and the future of the internet, like that might be an area where actually they also agree with that. Like Chris sees that. He actually helped me to see that future world that does exist, but it's in no way tied to his interest or that I'm doing his bidding or anyone's bidding. I'm doing it because I want the people of Illinois to benefit from this future industry that we should be creating here.
Could it be the only way we get out of the economic problems that we have here in Illinois?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that it?
And I've done some investing in this new world of things, and I've personally been able to benefit from that growth. And I do think, yeah, here in Illinois, we should be investing some of our treasury in these new industries and areas. And we can, I mean, it's not the solve-all for our pension crisis. We have a lot more stuff going on, but investing our money wisely in the industries of the future, this being one really good one, I think would be great.
One more.
Yeah.
So federally, Joe Biden, he'll go in and do EO after EO, and he's already working on an EO to go after cryptocurrency because he doesn't want people like me to make money off of cryptocurrency, the whole GameStop thing.
Yep.
Can you beat that if the federal level starts writing EO after EO to try to create almost, and I know it sounds crazy, like a globalist type currency? Can you kind of control it at a local level, and how would you do that?
Yeah, so I think states are the experimentation labs of the nation. That's what I love about this notion that we talked about before, a Republican principle that says local control matters. Centralization of control versus decentralization and local control. So I think states, as we saw through COVID, you get government mandates from the federal level, but the best governors are the ones who are pushing back and saying, hey, not in my state, and they're going to challenge the federal government on what they're doing. So I think this is a perfect area where, you know, you can have a state level, you know, where you say, hey, within my jurisdiction, I'm going to push back and I'm going to try to do as much as I can do at the state level. And we need governors who are willing to push back against federal. And I think some of the best governors like Ron DeSantis, who have a backbone, are willing to stand up and say, here's the way things should be. And they're willing to stick their neck out and be different from what everyone else is saying and charge forward in that direction. Yeah, so I do. I want to not only in the area of Web 3.0 and the future industries here, in so many areas, we have a need to push back against the federal government and people with a backbone to do it.
Hmm. Does crypto destroy the American dollar? Will it make it obsolete, you think?
No, I do not. I think there are different use cases. There's Bitcoin, which is the store of value. It's more a replacement for gold. Like, it's really digital gold than anything else. And then there are a lot of other use cases that have nothing to do with currency, even though they're labeled that way. It's a lot more to do with smart contracts, which is a way of taking all these industries that have made a ton of money on us, on our backs, like international exchanges and remittances. They take about 10% of all the money sent between nations to these industries. Well, they're going to break that up so that you take away the middleman, and it's kind of more of a trustless system because it's really a blockchain design system. Sorry if anyone's super bored by this stuff, but it's some of the work I was doing before and I really love it. But like, yeah, for me, it's more about these other use cases of technology that we're going to create whole industries out of. And I want to make sure we benefit in Illinois from all of those.
And get out ahead of it.
Yes, get out ahead of it. Exactly. Yep.
Not to keep the crypto train going.
I don't know. I don't want to bore anybody here.
I was curious about your thoughts on the environmental impact of mining crypto. I mean, it takes a crap ton of energy to mine crypto. And so to even have the currency as an option will have an environmental impact.
Yeah, so this gets in the weeds a little bit, but it's proof of work versus proof of stake. And proof of work takes a ton of energy that Bitcoin's currently based on. I think we need to transition that whole system over to proof of stake and actually have better environmental impact on the energy use, because it does cryptographically around the same thing. And so it needs to be a transition of the system. And some say, you know, you can use nuclear energy and other sources of energy for this.
The thing is, we don't have the infrastructure set up for that right now.
So. Right. And I do think there's a pathway where we created a law in Illinois for data centers, and that's helped explode the you know, we actually were out in front. One of the few areas regulatory-wise in the past 4 years they've done a good job is on saying, hey, data centers, you can locate in Illinois. Well, there's an opportunity on the crypto mining side where excess energy for our nuclear plants that are having challenges with the amount of energy that they're producing, and you know, where are the markets for that energy? There might be a possibility in this area and industry, but really for me, I totally agree with you. Let's transition from proof of work to proof of stake. That's a better energy use for the whole system.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your lieutenant governor a little bit?
Yes, I wish Kathleen Murphy was here. I think she's going to be arriving soon because we're actually turning in our petitions down in Springfield today. But Kathleen is awesome. And so when I ask myself, what does Illinois really need right now, in a lieutenant governor? And, someone, it's like, oh, you could maybe find someone who compliments you, someone who's got a great amount of experience in the legislature and, you know, a part of the system and understands it. I was like, no, I don't want that. I want to double down on the outsider status. And Kathleen is, number one, a person of faith. So she worked at her church. She's a mother, number two. She's got a couple of kids and understands the perspective of being a mom and being involved in the school system right now. And so that's what she's been doing, is actually going to these school board meetings, attending them and being willing to push back and say, enough is enough. Parents need to be involved in their children's education. She worked with Jeannie Ives in setting up Breakthrough Ideas, which is up in the suburbs. It was saying, hey, we need to get this conservative view back into these neighborhoods again, and especially with parents. And so that's the hard work she's been doing. So for me, it was like finding a person of faith who understands and represents families right now, but could be a conservative outsider who holds these values and wants to insert them in our government again. And so, yeah, she's really excellent, and she'll be really good for our state.
So did you personally find her, or did somebody say, hey?
It's funny, because we had been talking with a few different people about who might be a good lieutenant governor candidate, and she was one of those people that my team engaged because of her work with Jeannie Ives and Breakthrough Ideas. So it's a little bit, I don't know if you guys know the story of George Bush and Dick Cheney, but George Bush had asked Dick Cheney to help with the search of the vice presidential nominee, and then he ended up just turning to him and saying, well, how about you do it? It was a little like that, in that Kathleen was helping us. We asked her as one of many people who might make a good lieutenant governor pick, and then after she was working with us a little bit on that, we were like, you are the perfect person for this.